We must get to heaven, and we cannot do this of our own effort. And thus, we are bound to pray and seek from God the help we need in the proper manner. This includes proper dispositions at prayer. But we are sinners, and God, though he is a loving Father, yes, but he is also perfect and hates sin. So, as in nature, so in our prayer life, we need a mother. And what is a mother's role? We have offended, and we cannot excuse it, not to protect malice, not to be bonded, and it's important that mothers understand not to be bonded with the child more than the father of their children, but to meditate, but they are to mediate, to soften, to make the entreaties of the child acceptable to the father, to assuage just wrath. For if the mother is bonded more to the child than the father of their children, what will happen? What we see today, the crumbling of the family. The fallen nature of the child now has an ally and remains unchecked, the results of which devastate the family and alienate the father, or as Jesus tells us, a house divided cannot stand. And so we are to ask God for grace through our Blessed Mother, as St. Bernard instructs us, to be careful to offer all our prayers through Mary. But there is another important factor we must be aware of, and not just aware of, but use often in the day. The one friendship on this earth that gives any idea of the love of a mother is the love the angel has for those in their charge. This is the purest and most generous, the strongest of all human loves, the mother's love of her children with unbounded affection. God has placed in the mother's heart an instinct of love so great that it almost borders on the supernatural. She forgets herself and thinks only of her children. She works for them, sacrifices herself for them, and gives them her all. If one of them should fall sick or be plunged into some great sorrow, to that one she devotes a more special gentleness and more loving care. We sometimes see a frail woman watch at the bedside of her sick child, eating little, resting little, consumed with poignant anxiety for 10, 20, even 30 days, never complaining, never faltering. When these days of anguish and bitterness are past, this almost superhuman effort, these long, weary vigils seem to have cost her nothing. The mother's love sustained her. Yet strong men who lose their sleep for two or three consecutive nights complain that they find it hard to work the following day. If a poor, frail mother, she may be young or old, rich or poor, full of weakness and imperfections, can rise to such a height of love and abnegation as this, what may not we not expect from God's angel, who have no defects, no imperfections, and who love us with the almighty power of their glorious angelic natures? How comes it that the angels are so little known and loved? First of all, Christian mothers should instill deeply into the minds of their children a clear, vivid, and abiding sense of the presence of their dear guardian angels. It is not sufficient to give them vague, hazy, insufficient notions of these blessed spirits, nor is it enough to teach them to say a short prayer in the morning and at night to their guardian angel. They should devote much time and attention to this all-important subject. Children must be taught constantly from their tenderest years to have a real love and friendship for their guardian angel, and to have a boundless confidence in them. They must be accustomed to feel and realize the personal presence of their angels, to call on them in all their fears and troubles. How much better this would be than the children should have their heads filled with foolish fear of ghosts and goblins, and so frequently happens. Mothers who impress on their children this great lesson confer on them inestimable blessings during all the long years of their lives. On the other hand, if they neglect this duty or make light of it, they do a great wrong to their dear ones, for they deprive them of the best and most powerful of friends. And so we want to understand how important that is. And remember, is there strife in the home? Are there perplexings in very difficult situations? Does the way seem dark? Have you asked our Blessed Mother? Have you prayed your daily family rosary? Have you sought to combat fallen nature and the fallen angels by the power of your guardian angel? The guardian angel of each individual family member, lest ye concede. Yield to your own nature and fail God, family, and your own soul. Are you endangering or strengthening souls? When we speak of vocations, we have to understand that sisters are spiritual mothers, to appreciate them, support them, understand their role in God's plan. If there is an issue, to support, again, we have to be present a united front as adults. We are forming souls. We have to live with our children for about a few years. And if we do our job, they will bless us for eternity, not for not giving in to them, not catering to them, not letting our nature color our judgment, but rather grace. Especially pray to persevere and increase in the love of God. Teach them that. Help in critical work of forming modern-day saints. Indeed, both a glorious and arduous task with eternal consequences. Now, I would encourage you to go home and to find what Cardinal Mazzinti says of mothers, if you have not, to reflect on that and realize that that applies not to all mothers, but especially to spiritual mothers, but also applies to mothers who follow God's plan. Spiritually and temporally, and to read through the book The Popes on Youth, the duties of every individual family member, as the Holy Ghost has instructed us through the popes, to obtain that, keep it in the library, refer it to it often in your home. And start the process of possibly even having that posted online or uploaded, whatever. A real light in the dark world of God, regarding God's plan, the plan God has given us. And as I mentioned earlier, the proper dispositions at prayer, where are these learned? At school? It should be taught before school, but by who? Yes, mothers need to be the primary educators of their children, especially today. School teaches, if you come to a Catholic school, it teaches faith and morals, and mothers are responsible to ensure this, but the mother is also the person that teaches in the home by example and word how to guard faith and morals in the modern world full of constant danger at the practical level, because the teachers are not in the home. They don't see that. And they can't possibly tailor that to each and every individual in their class. That is the mother's obligation, the privilege, and duty of every mother. Point out to them the dangers and why they're dangerous. Sometimes they may or may not understand, they may or may not agree, but you have to pray to the guardian angels to help them as they grow to understand that so that they will avoid that of their own free will. And what is helpful to the soul and why in their daily lives, in their homes, that they can do. Yes, school in more general terms, but in individual practical terms, it has to take place with the mother in the home. There's in the vestibule a father's quiz. It's important to see where men are with God in relation to their various duties, to their own soul, to those they care for. And mothers should apply this and adapt that to themselves. What is my duty in God's plan as God sees it? And am I following that? Am I doing that? That unique role that God has given me in his plan. By far, chief among the duties is forming saints. Yes, even in this world. Which means teaching by example and word how to follow God's will and not self. Every day, when the great question, yes, the great test of vocation comes, is it God's path and not self that wins? That formation you give them as a mother has a great influence on that. Yes, they have a free will, but you have a grave responsibility there also. Understanding the gratitude in light of eternity of God and countless souls that their child was a success. Truly, in other words, their child chose the path of God and thus chose to help all those souls that lie in the path, on that particular path to eternity, despite all obstacles. And what do we face for the future? Only God knows. Imagine for a moment a soldier in training. Would you be comfortable with them being under-trained or over-trained? Would you want them to be ready for the average assault? What would happen if there was an absolute, all-out, devastating, unexpected attack? Would you not want them trained to the best, to be ready for anything? Yet we know for a fact this all-out, devastating war on our faith and on our souls is coming. It most certainly is not a matter of if, but when. We know, we see, and we hear of the hatred of the modern world, even for false faiths, just for God in general, let alone for those who profess the true faith. Will our children or grandchildren be called to give their lives for God? Mothers and grandmothers, are your troops ready? For what? Are they ready to maintain or defend and resist that all-out assault? To give their jobs or opportunities, yes, indeed, their very lives and families for the most honorable God, honorable cause of God and his holy church, if asked. It is well and good and easy to say yes, but the answer is not found in our mouths or minds. But rather it is found in how our family works, if it serves God or self in everyday life. It is only there the true answer can be found. In this story I read from this wonderful book all about the angels, is about a little ordinary girl shaped into an extraordinary saint by God's love. And I'm sure her mother must have had a part in that. Saint Eulalia, the child martyr, is another beautiful instance of how the angels helped the martyrs. This dear little girl, only 12 years old, was brought before the brutal judges who used every means in their power to terrify and compel her to deny the religion of Jesus Christ. They threatened her with the most awful torments and showed her the instruments of torture with which the executioners were going to tear her flesh and break her bones. But three angels came to her assistance and consoled her and encouraged her, so much so she was glad to have suffered for her dear Lord. The angels told her what to answer the judges, who were confounded at the wisdom and courage of the child. She saw the angels who were radiant with beauty and lovingly consoled her. One said to her, "Suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you with an infinite love." Another said to her, "Suffer, dear child, for soon you will be one of us and will rejoice with us forever in heaven." A third added, "Suffer with courage, Eulalia, for you will save many souls by your constancy and example." And then all three affectionately said, "Do you wish to be our dear little sister?" The words of the angels filled the heart of Eulalia with such joy and strength that she exclaimed, "O dear Lord, what joy to have written on my body in letters of blood the sign of your sufferings and wounds." Finally, she was burned alive, and her soul was borne by her angels heavenwards. This does not happen by accident. This is why it's so important for mothers to be mothers according to God's plan, to form those souls that are that strong. Let mothers be, mothers one and all, never fail to teach devotion to our Blessed Mother and the guardian angels, and especially the daily family rosary, and to keep themselves strong in mind and soul so they can fulfill their duties. So simple, so critical, and so very effective for salvation. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.